Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, here we go again. You know, markets look to be under a little bit of pressure. But we know that the buyers will be back because they always are. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I actually did some talking of some things. And, you know, I look at the whole picture. And this is, you know, again, and this is not to lead you to be bullish or bearish the market. I don't care. I don't want you to be either. What I want is I want you to be neutral to the market, being able to react to circumstances as they arise. See, one of the problems with having an opinion is if you are stuck in your opinion, in your mind, and you're not flexible, then you will never benefit from if the market does the other thing, if it does opposite of what you think. And this is something that traders and investors alike have to learn. You know, there's a thing in economics called opportunity cost in business, right? If you buy a bad product and you refuse to take your loss and get out, okay, and then the greatest product in the world comes along that you know you can sell, but if you don't have the money because you're stuck with that bad product, then you've given up an opportunity cost. The same things happen in markets with your opinion. You give up opportunity cost. And the sad thing about that is there's no reason to do that, because trading gives you an advantage. You know, think about it this way. You know, the markets are open 241 days a year, and you can always exit during that time. You may not exit where you want. You might have to take a loss. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because trading and investing is a numbers game. But if you're stuck and you buy a stock and you say, okay, well, this is going to the moon and, you know, blah, 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 and it keeps going lower and you keep holding and hoping that it's going to go to the moon, what you're going to find out is that you're going to miss, you know, I don't know, 10, 50, 1,000 other opportunities that, had you had not been so stubborn and had you had not stuck yourself and married yourself to that position, you marry your wife or your husband, or, you know, you marry something that, you know, that you want in your life. But marrying a stock is never the case of what you want to do, because they change. Times change. Things change. You know, Walmart, if you'd have bought Walmart at $85, you wouldn't be so happy down here at 60. Okay, whereas if you'd have bought Amazon at 30, you'd be very happy up here at 700. But you have to look for the abilities and where is the dangers. Because no matter what you're in, there is always danger. There is no guarantee of anything. The only guarantee is that we're all going to drop someday. Okay, and maybe the way they're coming out with medicine, maybe they'll find a way that I don't have to do that either. But at the end of the day, the way they're coming up with Obamacare, it may happen sooner than later. Okay, but in all seriousness, there's nothing that is guaranteed. I don't care what you know. And I think it's important to understand just that, okay, that markets themselves, stocks themselves, they go in directions, they move, they go up, they go up, they go up, they go down, they go down, they go down. But if you take away your opportunity cost of getting in the next trade because you were too busy married to the trade that you're in. What was the song, Love the One You're With? Okay. You have to learn to love the one you're with. Because I will tell you that the most successful traders, the most successful investors, are those that stay away from the actual news, which is why on the Bubba Show, we don't particularly get too involved and we don't worry about the fundamentals or this or that. We talk to you about the process of the market. I will tell you what the process is going to be and how things are going to work, but I don't really like to get involved in the day-to-day operation because I want you to learn and formulate your own opinion based on learning to follow a footprint. Okay, because when I'm trading, I'm not watching the news. I'm not reading the Wall Street Journal or Barron's. To be honest with you, I have not read the Wall Street Journal or Barron's in 30 years. Okay, straight up. And I haven't read a business section in, I don't know, 25 years. And the only time I used to read that is when I was talking and I had nothing else to do. I was just reading. I read the whole, that was all that was left to read. Because if you remember that the art, the game of investing and trading is about your opponent, not about what the news is. Who gives a crap about the news? We all have the same news. Everybody reads this. Some people may report it differently, but it's all the same crap. Do you really think that if there's any different? Do you think anybody's getting inside information? The only inside information you'd ever want to have is you'd want to know if Carl Icahn was going to legitimately go in and buy something or sell something, or Bill Ackman or any of those kind of guys. You'd want to know if you could know ahead of them. That's the news you want, because then you know you're going to get a direct, either you're going to get a direct pop in their direction, and you'll be able to benefit from that. Which, in other words, you'd be front running them based on information that you knew they were going to do, because they will drive markets in a direction. Now, they don't have enough money, as much as they have, and they got a lot. They don't have enough to drive it if the market isn't ready to be driven, but they will always create an initial pop or drop off of what they're going to do. And then we'll see. It's just like if you knew exactly what Warren Buffett was going to buy before he was going to buy it, you would have a benefit. But the other information, we've all got the same. And nobody's got that information. And I will say this out loud, that one of the reasons Carl Icahn does it the way he does it is because he likes to get the pop. He likes to show how smart he is. So he buys it. And then, of course, you come running in behind him and you buy it. And he picks up, you know, in a stock like Apple. Apple went up like $8 or $10 after he originally got involved, because he broadcast to the world that he was buying Apple and that it was too cheap. Well, that news eventually wore off, and Apple did what it normally does, and it sold off, and now it rallied back. But in the meantime, it just stuck in a range. They don't care that Carl's in it. But again, the initial influx, the initial announcement created some excitement. So that would be the kind of news if you could get, which I don't think you can. I don't know that Carl's going to give you, or me, for that matter, that information ahead of time. Because if he did, I'd be very happy, and I would not share it. I hate to say it, but I would not share it with anybody. I'd just buy it, or maybe I'd share it with everybody else. But again, that's manipulating and front-running the market. Oh, that's what the Fed is doing right now. They're manipulating and front-running. But, so you see what I'm saying? You have to be more in tune with what the stock or the market or the commodity, whatever you're trading, that's what you have to be in tune with. Not with the news. The news means jack. But they ask me about that all the time when I'm on air. You know, what about this? I said, what do I care? It doesn't mean anything to me. And I will tell you that the Badger and I, when we were trading in the same room together, we watched horse racing, Seinfeld episodes, reruns, you know, we bought the DVDs, or movies. We didn't care. What could they possibly tell me on air that I don't already know, that isn't going to affect me, that's going to affect me, that's going to help me make money? Nothing. They're going to cause me to possibly rethink what I know is right, because they have no clue. And that, my friends, is the bottom line. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you go to thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com. Check out what we're writing. We got some great articles up there. We've also got some great things. And make sure you get my book. All you got to do is pay for shipping and handling, and you can have it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after this. Tonight, what's the dealio? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood's hanging out with you. And you know, I got to tell you, I am so frustrated at, you know, as I mentioned when we were talking earlier, I said, don't watch news. But of course, I have to watch a little bit because obviously I'm on all the time. You know what pisses me off more than anything? What pisses me off is that these analysts, and I mean analysts, sit there and blather on and on and on about how bullish and how great everything is. And they don't own any of the stuff they're talking about. They don't give you a rat's potato about anything. They just want you to put your money in. They care about their bonus. That's all they care about. And I tell you what, it really is starting to get under my skin because you know one thing for sure. Okay, you know, and you've heard my calls, you've heard me talk. I don't ever talk about something that I'm not involved in. I won't even give an opinion. But you know my one opinion is that there's a lot of sleaze bags out in the industry. And there's a lot of dirt jagoffs that are looking to fleece you out of your cash by making you promises that they can never deliver on. And to me, that is criminal. And to me, nothing makes me angrier than when I read the next great market crash or the next great this or that. And I'm just telling you. I mean, it gets to me because I'm pretty good. The Badger's pretty good. And I don't know two guys and a team that have a better market understanding than we do. And we will tell you straight up, okay, without hesitation, without giving you a song and dance or a soap, that the market itself is unpredictable. Okay, that you cannot by possibly pick the top or the bottom. Now, you can on an occasion, but at the end of the day, it doesn't pay to try to pick tops or bottoms. It pays to be a footprint follower because you will find yourself, A, much happier, B, much more in tune with the market, and C, much more successful. Because all of these great geniuses, okay, and we can look back at the Elliott Wave Theory, Robert Proctor, okay? Nice guy, good analyst in the 80s. Nobody was hotter. Nobody was better. But he's only been calling for 5,000 Dow since 2010 or 2009. Okay? How's he doing so far? Okay? Oh, we're at 18,000. Gee, must just missed just by that much. Now, and there's a lot like that out there. And again, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but what I'm saying to you is that nobody's going to give you what you think, and you'll have these ads. I got an ad the other day, and I recognized the name, so I opened it up. You know, I look at this stuff because it pisses me off, because the unsuspecting public always gets trapped in the end. Okay, you know, if you ever watched, you know, Seinfeld. If you're a Seinfeld fan, and you know, I think Jerry and George are talking one time, and George is trying to get Jerry to do something, and Jerry said, "It reminds me of Germany. Come on, take a shower. Come with me, okay?" And you know, I'm just saying that there is no magic, okay? The investing and trading world are not a magic box. There is no, even the high frequency traders that these idiots blather on about how they're taking advantage of the market. And again, I'll get to that in a minute, but they don't make money on every trade every day. Okay. You know, people think that if you're a trader, you're stealing money. Like, it's like they gave you a printing press. No, we're not the Federal Reserve. They did not give us a printing press. Okay. We don't have that luxury. We got to work just like everybody else. I mean, there is no stealing in this world. Okay. I mean, there is some criminal stealing. Okay. Which that you can't do anything about. I mean, Bernie Madoff was a criminal, but he had help. And I guarantee you, all the help hasn't been found out yet. And you can bet your ass on the fact that somebody's going down later on. You know, eventually it's going to come out. These secrets don't stay secret forever. And somebody's going to come down for this. But I'm talking about real honest to goodness trading. Okay. There is no black box that everybody just makes money. You know, out of all of the traders that have ever tried to do it for a living, I would say that probably, you know, very few have actually made it successfully as a living. Because why? Well, number one, because we get bad information. Because we believe that we can predict a market. We believe that we're smarter than the market. And we believe that we're smarter than all the participants. Now, I don't know about you, but I will tell you this. There are some very smart people involved in this business. And you're not going to be able to out-trade or outsize the things that they do. And that is what I think is the important lesson to learn, is not to how to figure out how to outsmart the smartest, but how to participate with them. Because everything they do, believe it or not, they leave what we call a footprint. The market has a footprint. That is what the chart is. It's a footprint like a treasure map. Okay? You know, if you compare trading even to your everyday life, you know, if you're 50 years old, has every day of your 50 been great? Have you ever had a bad day? If you've never had, then God bless you. I can appreciate it. But I can't say that I've had that privilege. Okay? I can say that the equity curve of my life is great and always rising. But I can't say that there haven't been a few pitfalls along the road. Now, I've named a couple of them on the show here a couple of times. You know, the Badger and I were short the bond market in 2008. Okay, we thought we could stop the soybean market. Initially, in the first run-up in crude back in about, it's so long ago, but let's say 2004. I'm guessing, but let's say 2004. We thought we could stop the crude market too. Guess what? They ran us over. Okay, because you don't know. And if you get off the map, if you get off the footprint, all you're doing is creating and making your job tougher. Because the market leaves clues. Now, again, I don't promise you that every time the market leaves a clue, you know, there are false clues. You know, if you saw the movie National Treasure, you know, one clue to the next clue to the next clue, but eventually you did find the treasure. The market leaves clues all the time. Okay? Not once in a while. Now, again, sometimes they're false clues. They don't always work because, again, if it did, then we'd all be sitting in our jockey shorts just counting the cash. But it doesn't always work. But, again, if you follow the footprint, if you use that as your basis, you are always in what we like to talk about, the mathematically based best position. Okay? Now, again, there is no guarantees of anything. Okay. The only guarantee I can tell you is you're going to have losing trades. Okay. And I can guarantee that you're going to have winning trades. The question is how you take care of those winners and losers and what you do with them from that point on. Okay. Because I will tell you that if you get greedy, you're going to lose your ass. I can tell you if you get too fearful, you're going to lose your ass. Because that's what the market preys off of. Those are the key things that will set the final footprint in a market. And if you're one of those, then you're watching too much. You got your iPhone in your hand too many damn times trying to check your long-term IRA, which you're not going to do anything anyways, but it's going to upset your mind if it's going down, and it's going to make you overly joyful if it's going up. When that long-term investment is exactly what it is. It's an investment long-term. We are not worried about the long term, okay? We don't have to look at that every day because we're not going to execute in that. Keep that in mind the next time you start pushing buttons on your iPhone in your IRA that you probably can't sell that anyways because you're not at that age, so you're still stuck. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. I got some great products. We're now bringing out a brand new futures program to help you be a part-time day trader if it interests you, and how to read the market footprint. But for now, I got to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Catch me at libertytalk.fm on demand. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and I don't know. I've been bitching all day. Why should I stop now? So, you know, as you all know, I hate the Fed. Now, I'm not, I hate the Fed where I think they should be banished. Of course, that wouldn't bother me either. But I do hate the Fed and the way they operate, because I do not believe that the way they operate today, and I can't vouch for, you know, back when they started in 1913, but certainly the way they operate today, nobody in their right mind could have intended that organization to do what it is doing now. I can't fathom that that is actually what they've done now, become a cartel and basically a champion and a supplier to banks only, and screw everybody else. I can't imagine. I could be wrong. Again, I don't know that for a fact. This is just my own personal take and my own personal opinion. But I cannot imagine that their intention was to make them a powerful organization and basically screw the world out of cash. I know that's oversimplification, but I'm a simple guy. So I don't want to make it too complicated, because otherwise if I make it too complicated, I want to understand myself. Okay. But I do know that looking at and watching what has been going on globally is eating me alive, watching these idiots. And yes, I know they're smart people. I just like to refer to them as idiots, because in my opinion, what they're doing is idiotic. It doesn't make them dumb. I can't stand people that try to run a business, but they're not running a business. They're reading a book. They're giving me financial philosophy. You know what that gets you? The same thing as fundamental investing gets you in the stock market. Okay? Same thing it gets you if you'd have bought Apple at 700 because you liked it and the fundamentals look good. But the technicals didn't look very good. Okay? And that is the stuff that eats me up, because I'm listening. You know, I hear these guys speak, and I hear one after another. First Plaster says no rate increase, and then this one says, well, maybe, and then this one says, well, I don't know. What is it, a Jackie Mason comedy routine? Is it Abbott and Costello? Who's on first? I mean, they don't even know what the hell they're doing, and why would I think that they can control the economy if they don't know what the hell they're doing themselves? Isn't that great? It's like me going to to my next door neighbor, who's a welder, to check me out for a physical. I mean, you know, I know these people got to where they got because they have intelligence, and I'm sure they went to all great, high-grade universities. I mean, listen, Ben Bernanke, I mean, Mr. Princeton, I wrote the book on how to be whatever. I mean, you know, again, I got to be careful because I get angry, and then when I get angry, I lose my... I lose the art of tact. I don't have much to begin with, but I certainly lose it when I'm talking about these guys because, again, they're angry. They make me angry because you listen to what they say and it makes no sense. Okay? They've eliminated the entrepreneurial spirit of Americans. Now, they didn't set out to do that, but their policies have done so. Because there's no money around. So if I'm an entrepreneur, where am I going to go borrow money at? Well, I'm going to have to go to either a friend, family member, or one of these peer-to-peer lenders to get money. And of course, you know, obviously we all know that higher risk capital usually carries a little bit higher rate, but I might have to pay even a higher rate than that. And of course, if you've listened enough to the show, you know that the number one thing is liquidity. And you may not look at an interest rate is part of your liquidity, but if it's cutting off your ability to buy goods or whatever business you're going into because the rate is too high, then that does affect your liquidity. You know, liquidity comes to you in different shapes, sizes, and forms. And it doesn't announce itself and tell you, but you know, it goes back to, so if I can't borrow money, you know, and how can I open a new business? Because businesses... It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. They take money. Did you know that? Businesses take money to operate. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom. But they do actually take capital. You know, you probably have to hire an employer or two. Now you can, obviously, a lot of us start by ourselves and, you know, do everything ourselves, which is fine. I mean, I've done that. I do that. And I do that now. But they do cost money. There's rent. There's something. There's commissions. Whatever it is you're doing, okay, there's a cost to it. And as we talked about earlier about the missed opportunities, okay, well, now we're talking about, okay, if you're overpaying to get money, that's preventing you from being your own business, your own small business. Now, again, at the end, why is it important? Because it comes back to your liquidity. It comes back to what you're trying to do and what you're trying to see as part of your vision. And with what that the Federal Reserve has done is they've shattered the dreams of many with the help of the banks, because they feed the banks. Now the banks, believe me, as much as I bitch about them, they're doing it no differently that I would do. I mean, I would not, but listen, the first thing is, if somebody's giving me money at zero and I can turn it back in for 2.5% guaranteed, I do the same thing. However, the problem the banks are really starting to run into is they're not making enough money. Now, you know, we laugh and we make fun of the banks, but you know, listen, we also agree that the rich have to make money. Okay? The rich have to get richer. It's part of the deal, because that's really what makes the economy sing, is when the middle class are doing good and the rich are getting richer. When only the rich are getting richer and the middle class are getting pounded, that is not a good recipe. Because let's think about it. We walk through the system. The middle class, the rich, if you know anybody who's really rich, they weren't suffering in 2008. They were actually quietly accumulating more assets. But forget about that part of it. They don't not spend. They do what they're going to do anyways. If they're going to donate, they donate. If they're going to fly their private jet somewhere, you know, they're going to fly. They don't cut down because of economic times. And I'm not talking about guys that are rich on paper. I'm talking about guys that are really rich. Okay? I'm talking about the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, and a million others like them. But the guys that have real money, that are not tied to, you know, a stock or, you know, back in the internet bubble, an internet and a .com name. These are guys that have real dough. that have done real investing and real financial planning and are really prepared. Okay. They don't stop. They don't not go on vacation. They don't, you know, downsize their house. They keep going to Neiman Marcus. I think all those stores stay in business, right? Not because the rich stop going there. So they always get the edge. And again, you got to that point in your life. God bless you. I don't really have anything against the rich, other than I'm not one of them. And I'd like to have my own private jet. We're looking for that now. Bubba, the Bubba Publishing Jet. Okay. But, and the entitled, well, they're always entitled. You know, again, I think we've gone way too far, and we'll get into that another day, but they don't have much of an effect on the overall economy because they're just taking the money that's given to them and they're spending that. They're not bringing any new money into the economy. They're recirculating borrowed money from the government. But the key is, again, the middle class. Okay. Now, first of all, we all know, and we're all guilty of it. Well, I don't say all, but I'll say many of us are guilty of it. We're a by-the-month society. In other words, I'll buy that new car if it fits into my monthly budget. I don't care what the car costs. It could be $1 billion. But if I can pay for it by the month, I don't care. I mean, you see, car loans are now at 7, 8, 9 years now. So we're looking at stuff. So the middle class, when they have money, but it's not really money. It's security, knowing that they're going to keep working, knowing that they've got a job, knowing that they're going to make X and next year they'll make X plus, okay, then they're going to spend that money because that's what we do. That's what people do. They spend, okay? And spending is what the middle class does because everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses. So if the Joneses bought a new car, well, I got to buy a better car, right? So we figure it out by the month, and as long as we can keep paying for it, okay, and of course we have to invest as well. We got to try to put some money away in our IRAs and our 401ks. Of course, then we have to go more into debt, and we start, you know, using margin debt to do our investing because we got the new car, we got the new house, and we got no money, but we've accumulated a lot of toys, but we haven't accumulated equity. So, but that's when the system is working at its best, is when those things are happening. Because that's when the economy is flowing. That's when the velocity of money is moving from pocket to pocket to pocket to pocket, and everybody's happy. Okay? That's when you get a booming economy, but you don't get it without the middle class. So when they tell you how good the economy is, look in your bank book, look at your stock portfolio, look at your life. If you're telling me that things are great, God bless you. I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier to hear it. But I know from the statistics that we're making less money, we're working less. Jobs are tougher to come by, which is making money tougher to spend. So now we got to pay for food, rent, mortgage, college, whatever. We don't have that expendable income, and we're no longer looking to spend it by the month because we're not sure our job is going to be there tomorrow because we've got a bunch of momos in charge of the ranch. Anyways, go to BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. Also, get this show at LibertyTalk.fm on demand every day. And we're going to stop out here for a break. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. I've been feeling real good. Came along. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And it's, I guess we'll call it Bitch Wednesday. Because I'm a bitch every day, but that's all right. So, you know, we've hardly touched on, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And although they were a couple of weeks ago, you know, nobody looks at what the ramifications are of the Cyber Monday. As everybody gets excited about all the sales that were made. But if you realize that between the two, it was no bargain. It was not a good year so far for retail between Cyber Monday and Black Friday. Why? Because they didn't do enough sales. Now, the cyber side blew the doors off of it. Okay, they increased and it was great for them, and God bless America, wonderful country that we live in. But let's talk about that for a minute. Okay, when we talk about the online shopping, the cyber world. Okay, do you realize that when people quit going to stores? What does that mean? Well, let's take a look at it. If I'm just buying from my house in my jockey shorts, okay, and I don't have to go out, means I'm not burning any fuel, so the gas station's going to suffer. I'm going to probably eat at home, which means that the, you know, the fast food, the McDonald's, Burger King, whatever, Chipotle, whatever one you like is going to suffer because you're not going to go eat there, okay? So what does that do to the overall economy? Because now that everything online is basically done by robots, and even the packing and the planning in the warehouses is mostly done by automation. So by staying home and not shopping and using the online, which I do myself, okay, again, I'm just saying, but look at how many people we're putting out of work by doing that. Okay, look at what we're doing to a lot of the services that we use. Now, again, I'm not saying you should pay more because of that. What I'm saying is that so although we get so excited, we lost revenue everywhere else because we were sitting home in our jockey shorts and just pushing buttons. Not to mention that we're not getting any exercise. Okay, not to mention that, you know, we're becoming a generation of totally computerized, don't have to have contact with anybody anymore. I mean, when's the last time you called someplace that somebody actually answered the phone? You know, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I hate it. But so, you know, it's the same as those morons that were outside protesting at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange a couple of weeks ago that were trying to close down the exchange and saying, well, the traders have to pay more taxes or pay a transaction fee. They have no idea what they're talking about. No trader can afford to pay the transaction fees they're looking for. They'd all be broke. There would be no traders. But what they fail to realize is that it's not just the traders. And this is something that even the exchanges never took the time to realize. Okay. Not only did they put out, I don't know, I'm going to guess in the millions of people out of work that worked for the floors, that worked for the traders, that worked for the exchanges. Not only did they put all those people out of work, okay, but guess what else they put out of work? You know, in downtown Chicago, where the CME is and used to be the CBOT, but they're now together, and the CBOE, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, are, there was a ton of restaurants built around there. Why? Because on any given day, there was 50,000 people between traders, employees of traders, and people that worked at the exchanges, maybe 100,000 people in a 2-mile radius. They got to eat. They got to do their dry cleaning. They got to do all the things that, you know, even down to the shoe shine guy. Okay. Parking garages, the whole deal. They're gone. Okay. So the protesters, they're out there protesting about, worried about the few traders making money, were really just sticking a knife in the back of every one of themselves because they were eliminating all the other jobs around it. Because you can bet your ass that the Chicago Mercantile Exchange can't wait to move out of Chicago. You know how companies can't wait to move out of the United States because of the taxes? Well, you can bet the CME, they don't need to be in downtown Chicago. They can move out anywhere. They can get a building twice the size for probably a tenth of the price and go anywhere. It's an amazing thing about technology. They don't have to be at on Jackson and LaSalle. LaSalle Street has no meaning to anybody anymore because everything is done via the computer. So when you go there and protest about traders, we're getting squeezed just like everybody else. They have eliminated that business. So look at all the jobs we just lost. Okay. Because of a number of reasons, but the biggest is, as always, is greed. Okay? But now people want us to participate and pay more when we're not making any money to begin with, but we should pay more on it. That's always a great model. Make less money and pay more taxes. I can't wait to do that. Sign me up for that. Okay? Now, we're now excited about jobs and what's going on there. And of course, we had a great jobs report. Oh my God, it was so exhilarating. At least that's what I, that was the impression I got by watching TV. 211,000 jobs. Wow. 211,000 jobs of probably, let's say, an average of $10 to $11 an hour. Okay. Now, let's see, the same week, nobody, they forgot to mention that two major players, one of them being Schlumberger, laid off 50,000 employees. That I guarantee you, the 50,000 they laid off would generate more revenue and more earning power than the 211,000 that just got hired. Now, and out of the 200, and we're also excited about how many of those 211,000 are true part-timers that are just working for the holiday. Okay. How many of those jobs are going to be eliminated when Christmas is over? But we don't care about that. We just care about that 211,000, which is not a good number to begin with. I mean, you know, you cannot continue to make excuses for an economy that's failing. It just doesn't work that way. Okay. But we continue to try to do so from the president on down. I mean, he'll get up there and tell you what a great job he's done. Listen, the stock market's tripled since he's been in office. Okay. Unemployment's come down to 5% since he's been in office. You know, he won't tell you that he didn't create a job worth of crap. And I'm not, again, I'm not, this is not a bash on Mr. Obama. This is a bash on the system in general. Because I'm going to put it this way. Most presidents don't have an effect on the market one way or the other. Okay. The parties in power may affect the market, but you know, the market was going to bounce. I don't care if you put in Bullwinkle. Okay. Or George the monkey. Okay. The market was going to bounce because it was getting to a point that it didn't matter anymore. And people were going to, buyers were going to step in. Okay. Just like when markets, like the next president who comes in will most likely get a market that's going to start to sell off. Why? Not because of who it is, but because the market is probably ready for a sell-off. So, you know, when the next president comes in and we get a bear market, we go, oh, well, he created a bear market. The president doesn't do jack when it comes to the overall stock market. I mean, there obviously there's policies and regulations that have certain effect. But at the end of the day, Obama had nothing to do with the rally. Like Bush had nothing to do with the major sell-off or the collapse. The collapse was built by a bunch of greedy people that felt like giving money away, knowing that somehow they'd get bailed out because they were so-called too big to fail. But let's not get excited about an economy that is not growing. Let's not get excited about a 2.5% GDP, where the last 2 years, the first quarter was negative, but yet we can blame it on the weather. Let's blame it on the weather. But what about those online sales? They don't get affected by the weather. So how is it? You can't have it both ways, but of course they try, and they always try, but they don't fool us here. We get it. We understand it because we understand markets and how they work and want you to understand them too. I want you to go to the BubbaShow.org or BubbaTrading.com. Go take it to the same place. And I want you to check out what we're writing about because you're going to see things that you won't believe that we've written ahead, well ahead of the markets picking it up. I want you to listen to the show on demand. If you miss one, you go to libertytalk.fm and you get the Bubba Show on demand. And also, I want you to look at some of the things we're doing. But the best thing is I want you to have a great day. I appreciate you being here, spending some time with me while I bitched away. This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later. That tonight's gonna
be Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.